الله أكبر، سمع الله لمن حمده، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، سمع الله لمن حمده، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Last week we started talking about Surah Hujurat and the social etiquette that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in this surah, and our goal is that every Tuesday and Thursday for the next few weeks go through three ayats each day and cover the 18 ayats of Surah Hujurat. And today in ayat number 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks starts off by إِنَّ الَّذِي يُنَادُرُكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْهُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ. And we said that this ayah is where this surah gets its name from, Hujurat, the chambers where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family would live in. And the translation, indeed, those who call out, O Muhammad, from behind the chambers, most of them, لَا يَعْقِلُونَ, they have no reasoning behind it, they have no thought process behind it. Now, the reason of revelation, Aqra bin Habith, and we said last week that this surah, the reason why it was revealed is many small incidents took place towards the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now we're looking at year number 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, the last 5 years of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This Bedouin comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is a leader of his tribe, and he calls out to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "O Muhammad, come out." And of course, this is so much beyond etiquette of the calling out to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we look at last week's discussion, last week we talked about how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Muslims, they were receiving something from Banu Tamim. And the discussion of who was going to call them and receive them, that came up. And the companions began to raise their voices. And this was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses that differently. And here, where this Bedouin comes, and he calls out the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in the previous ayats, the first three ayats, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those that raise their voice, not to raise your voice around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he addresses this in a different manner, and there's a reason. Number one, this time where Aqra bin Habith comes and he calls out Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this manner, it was the resting time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he did this in a very disrespectful way that he ended up adding on, whoever I give respect to, that person is worthy of respect. And whoever I take away respect from, that person is not worthy of respect. So he calls out to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look, if you come out now, I will give you respect. And if you don't come out, then I will take respect away from you and you won't be worthy of respect. And a few lessons that we learn here. Number one is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anzilu nasa manazilahum. Give people the respect that they are due. Now everybody is deserving of the respect that you give to everybody else. The respect that you give to your teachers, the respect that you give to your parents, the respect that you give to the elderly is not the same respect that you will give to everybody else. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches that look, treat people of what they are deserving of being treated. And Aqra bin Habith, he comes and he calls out the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this manner, and Rasulullah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that look, those that call you in this manner, أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ, they don't know. He's doing it out of, that's their norm. And we see this, that different Bedouin, you know, leaders and people from the surrounding tribes, they come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and usually they're much more harsh. For example, one of the companions, he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asks a few questions. This companion is known as Al-Ba'il Al-Qa'il Al-Sa'il, the one who asked a weird question, who said something weird, and who urinated. And this was a companion that came and urinated in the midst of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with him. And then he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while they were praying salah, someone sneezed and he said, may Allah have mercy upon me, the messenger, and nobody else. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam later on corrected him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is vast. You know, when you make dua for everybody. Why are you excluding people? So this is Al-Qa'il. And As-Sa'il, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the question about when is the Day of Judgment? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded that what do you have prepared for it? So this was, you see that the nature of the people that were Bedouins was different. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran reminds us, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. Aqrab bin Habit, here he's saying that I am the one that gives respect, and whoever I give respect, that person is worthy of being respected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that's not how it works. Malik al-Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the king of all kings, and he gives his kingdom to whoever he wills. And he takes away and withholds his kingdom from whoever he wills. Many times in our life, we look at people and we question, why does that person have so much? If that person is not a believer, if that person disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how come Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with so many bounties? Whereas I, on the other hand, I try to stay on the straight path. I walk the straight and narrow. I follow the deen. I'm a believer, but I'm struggling. And we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives his kingdom to whoever he wills. And the reality is, the person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives his kingdom to, that's a test for him. And the person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withholds, that's a test as well. Last week's khutbah, we talked about the five questions that every single one of us will have to answer before our feet move forward. And the person who has less ni'mas, their questioning is shorter. On the Day of Judgment, when you're held accountable for where you got your wealth from and where you spent it, that person will have a long list of answers that he has to answer. But a person who doesn't have much, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give much, then his questions are short. And then the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Izzah, honor, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. And he وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. Many times, for the sake of honor and for the sake of fame, how people look at us, sometimes we cross boundaries. And we do things that are unethical. That are outside the folds of Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, you may struggle and you may go all out for this izzah and honor, but remember, honor is not in your hands. Honor is only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is correcting Aqrab bin Habith here. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبْرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ لَكَانَ خَيْرٌ لَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if he were to wait until you came out, لَكَانَ خَيْرٌ لَهُمْ, it would have been better for him. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبْرُوا بَيْشْ تَخْرُجُ, until you came out, إِلَيْهِمْ لَكَانَ خَيْرٌ, did we say جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ, it would have been better for him. Wallahu ghafur rahim, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving and he is the merciful. Now, instead of calling out to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should have waited. And the lesson that we learn from here is, when there's somebody of higher stature, again, as children, instead of calling out to your parents, Abba, come here, Mom, come here. Right? We're upstairs and we're calling out and shouting out to them, Mom, I need you. Mom, I need you. Wait for them. Right? Give them the respect. The second bullet point that we have here, in the previous ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with Abu Bakr and Umar differently, and here he deals with Aqrab bin Habit differently. And this is a concept that, in Arabic they say that the sins of the righteous are the good deeds of the common person. The sins of the righteous are the good deeds of a common person. When a person gets closer to the deen, then there are certain things that they should definitely stay away from. Right? Something bad for them. But for the common person, it's okay. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, look, Abu Bakr and Umar, for you to raise your voice, that's a test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I've tested their hearts with this. But here when this Bedouin calls out to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it would have been better if he would have waited. And at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages him that wallahu ghafur rahim, that repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whenever you make a mistake. Ayat number 6. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu in ja'akum fasikun. That, oh, you believe, when a person that's a transgressor, a disobedient person, comes to you with information, fatabayyanu, don't just take the information, look into it. So whenever you receive some sort of message about something, don't just follow it, look into it, do some investigate. فَتُصْبِرُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِهُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. If you don't investigate, then it's very likely then later on you'll regret. And the reason revelation here was, The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the fourth year of Islam, zakat became mandatory. In the fifth year, the battle of Banu Mustalq took place. And the nation, the tribe of Banu Mustalq, they accepted Islam. Now zakat became mandatory upon them. Banu Mustalq, when the Muslims fought against them, Banu Mustalq, there was many spoils of war that they achieved. So Banu Mustalq was a wealthy clan. Now that they had to pay zakat and they lived at a distance, the Prophet ﷺ, he had set aside a person that he trusted to go to them and bring the zakat. And his name was Walid bin Uqba. Walid bin Uqba, when he goes to collect the zakat, he was delayed. So Banu Mustalq, they said, maybe that person's not coming. What should we do? Let's go and take our zakat to the Prophet ﷺ. It's like those armored vans that you see outside that's carrying a lot of money. So what they do is they put on their armor, they take their weapons because they have this large amount of money, and they're going towards Madinatul Munawwara. Walid bin Uqba, he sees them, that they're armored and they have their weapons. Maybe they're coming to fight. Maybe they don't want to give zakat. It's time, it's a zakat day, that this is when I'm supposed to collect it, and instead of, you know, me going and receiving from them, they are coming and they're weaponed up. Maybe they're going to read, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Ya Rasulullah, instead of me collecting, they're coming for war. They rejected zakat and they're coming for war. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he then brings out these notes, that in ja'akum fasikun fatabayyanu. Now, a huge point comes to mind. Is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in ja'akum fasikun, but Walid bin Uqba is not a fasiq. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points this out, that number one, calling a sahabi a fasiq would be absolutely wrong. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, look, if there is a reason for you to doubt a person, and in a lot of occasions, even if there is not a reason for you to doubt a person, it's good to do your own investigation. And this is where we look at where only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about the companions, he says that radiyallahu ta'ala anhu wa radu anhu, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with him. So calling a sahabi a fasiq would be incorrect. But this story is a reason of revelation, but it's not a reason for this. The story is a reason of revelation, but it's not a reason to call a companion a fasiq. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, number one, he trusted Walid bin Uqba, and that's why he gave him this position that you are to hold on to this money and bring this money. But the lesson that we learn here is that whenever, again, the social etiquette, whenever any type of information is brought to us within our homes, if your child comes to you with some sort of information, check onto it. If your spouse comes to you, your child did this. This tells us always to listen to both sides of the story. Look into it correctly. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, in ja'akum fasiqun fatabayyanu. Now this brings us to a few different points: gossip, tattertelling, telling stories, verifying ambiguous actions and sayings. Especially when it comes to, we talked about this last week, especially when it comes to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and things are connected to the deen. When you receive a forward message on WhatsApp, and it kind of seems a bit off, then instead of passing it forward, look into it. So this right here makes us look into the fact that just passing things forward, forwarding messages, could put us in the same category here. So whenever you receive a message, look into it first. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, a man comes and he sees the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Safiya bint Huyay, his wife. And the Prophet ﷺ says to him, this is my wife, Safiya. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, I wouldn't have doubted it. And Rasulullah ﷺ says, you would have doubted, but shaitan would have put that doubt into your heart. So whenever you see something, and it may be suspicious, look into it. Right? And the Prophet ﷺ, another hadith tells us to always give the benefit of the doubt. If you see something, make excuses for your brother. And one narration, to make your multiple excuses for your brother. The way that you would always want somebody else to give you the benefit of doubt. We don't want people to jump to a conclusion. Whenever a person makes an assumption, majority of the time, it's incorrect. And that leads to, so we look at why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning these ayats here. What's the core here? The core is, this is what destroys a society from within. And as obvious as it may be, even within our community, a lot of time we have he, she, she, she. He said this, she said this. I heard this from somebody. It's enough for a person to be called a fasik that they share everything that they hear. So even within our community, if there's something that you know you hear, you don't need to always pass it on to somebody else. Put it into it. Even if it's true. Even if it's true, so-and-so person said something, you investigate, it actually happens, put it into it. You look at the effect that it has on the community, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing these verses here. The three verses that we cover today is number one, when the Bedouin comes out and he calls out to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we talked about this last week about how calling out and the respect for that person should have for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and again, how that applies to us. You know, we can't raise our voice to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but putting our opinion ahead of the opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then here, the second ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about that, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجَ إِلَيْهِمْ لَكَانَ خَيْرٌ لَهُمْ. If they were to be patient until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out towards them, it would have been better for them. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. And then ayah number six, we read, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَإٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Whenever a person that's a disobedient, they come to you with any type of news, then investigate, look into it. أَنْتُصِيبُ قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِهُ عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. And if you don't do so, then you may take on actions or you may take on decisions that you later on regret. You know, so many times in my life, things happen that someone doesn't know the reality. When they find out the reality, I wish I knew it before. Right? My child comes to me and says something that, Abba, you know, this happened. I immediately jump to a assumption, a conclusion. This is what it is. And so many times I have to go back and say sorry to my children. Somebody says, oh, your child did this at the masjid. And without asking their side of the story, I immediately go into punishment mode. And then you have to backtrack. أَنْتُصِيبُ قَوْمًا بِجَهَاتٍ فَتُصْبِهُ عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ. That later on, فَتُصْبِهُ عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ. What you did, you have to then nadimin, that you have nadamat on it, and you regret it. So these are the ayat number 4, 5, and 6, inshallah, on Thursday. We'll carry on with ayah number 678. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.